gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1196, live from Las Vegas. This is your host, Danny Pena, and I've been super busy the past few days because I came here for DICE 2022, the DICE Summit, and that we were there for a couple of days, and we got to see a lot of people from the industry, people that I haven't seen in like multiple years, like 2-3 years. So it was a lot of fun. I probably will talk more about that in the future, but also this week was our 17th year of Gamertag Radio. So I had a great conversation with my fiance Rihanna, and we talked about just overall my career and everything since the launch of Gamertag Radio. So, and these also before GTR. So that was a great conversation. It was originally for Twitter Spaces. So we did it both at the same time, Spaces and the recording of the podcast. So you're going to hear us talking to people that were listening, Spaces. So it was a great conversation. And she was actually asking me a lot of questions about everything GTR, podcasting, how I started, and some really, really great, great questions. So can't wait for you guys to listen to it here on GTR. But first, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You also could find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just search for the show, Gamertag Radio. When you see us, subscribe, follow us, and also the most important thing is post your review. Doesn't matter if it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other podcast app. Every time you subscribe and also post a review, will help us climb the top of the chart. So we need your support. It only takes a few seconds of your time. Go for it. Review right now. I think on Spotify we have 195 reviews, and let's go over 200. Let's do it. All right. Again, few seconds of your time. Now, if you'd like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so let's go straight to the interview conversation, of course, about the 17th year of Gamertag Radio with Rihanna Emanuel and myself. Check it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
And also joining me, special episode here of GTR, is my fiance, beautiful fiance, Rihanna Emanuel. Hello, Rihanna.
Hello, Danny. Yeah, I'm sitting right next to you. So again, there's some pausing and unpausing happening. So pardon the second delay, everyone. And as Danny said a few minutes ago, we are going to keep this to just him and I, because I have lots of questions for Danny about what it's like to celebrate 17 years of podcasting. Danny, explain to us what your podcast journey has been. Like, how did you get to the beginning stages of Gamertag Radio all those years ago?
Yeah. So I'm going to go back to, this was 1998. There was a radio station that I discovered using my friend's computer. And I also will go to like the library in Miami, and I will just like test out the streaming services at this time. It was called 88 Hip Hop. It was called the show. It's from a network called Pseudo. So Pseudo had a lot of different shows like rock, entertainment. I think there was also a video game show there too. I've never got to hear it during the time because I was more into the hip hop scene, 1998 around there. So I was at my friend's house and I heard that Nas was going to be there to do an interview. I think one of his albums was coming out during that time. I can't quite remember. And then after the interview, did like a freestyle. And I was listening to this through a 56K modem. So the quality wasn't that great compared to how it is now. But that inspired me to also start a radio show during that time. But it was so expensive to do it that we decided to just wait a little longer. But previously, I will go to a lot of the local radio stations in Miami and we'll do like mixes. We'll do shows, especially pirate stations, because that was like the big thing in Miami. Miami in the 90s was known as the number one city with the most pirate stations. What I mean by saying that is stations that are not approved by the FCC. So like DJ Khaled, for those that know, I used to work with him back in the days. He has his show on this radio station called Mix 96. It was only available in Miami, Florida. So he had a show from like 2 to 4 or something like that. So, but anyways, I was doing that like college radio, pirate station, and all that, and it was a lot of fun. But I always wanted to have like my own show. I don't know if I want to do it like hip hop wise or gaming. So fast forward 2001, I was living now in New York City. I was there for college, and then I discovered this website called mp3.com, where a lot of music artists will upload their music there. And every time someone would listen to their songs or buy their albums, you could do that CD-wise. You could get it from there. You also get paid. So I was like, man, I should do my own show, talk radio about Fantasy Star Online. I'm a huge fan of the game. And I did it through there. And my first check was $500. And I was like, okay, this show is getting a lot of success, a lot of buzz going around. Even IGN, I think, featured us. They had a couple articles about the show, because during that time Fantasy Star Online was like a big thing. This is when the Dreamcast was kind of big in the United States, before PlayStation 2 came out. So so yeah, that's how I decided doing that. And then eventually I changed it to like about a radio show about all video games. But it took me a while to launch Gamertag Radio. This was like, I was talking to my brother around 2004, the end of 2004, and it took us exactly over 2 months to come up with a name, Gamertag Radio. He didn't like the name. He said it sounded corny. So I had to convince him, and then we launched GTR February 25th of 2005. Sorry for the long answer, but yeah, there you go.
No, that's all good. That's what we're here for, is these long answers, because there's obviously lots of podcasts out there today in the gaming space and beyond, you know, all sorts of genres now. But in those early days, I have to imagine you were one of the first to do gaming content. Talk a little bit about what it was like to connect with other podcasters and learn about other people's shows, and you maybe being a little bit more isolated and alone as being something that a podcast that focused on gaming coverage specifically. Mm-hmm.
So there was a couple shows that was around that time. There was one called Gaming Noise. Shout out to Chip and Zach. They launched their show also during the Dreamcast days. Also, Orange Lounge Radio. Shout out to the whole crew. They're still doing it now to this day. And I know there was other ones too, but I think those were the ones that stood out to me during around that time. But the thing is, when podcasting launched around the end of 2004, there was no iTunes, there was no Spotify. So the podcasting community came up with an app and websites too. There was one called Podcast Alley. There was another one called Podcast Pickle. Think of it as like a directory of all shows. They even had a way to subscribe. You get news once there was like a new episode. People could post reviews. So it was like a lot of the podcasters doing that instead of like the listeners. So when I started promoting Gamertag Radio during that time, I will go to the local stores and I'll pass out flyers and I let them know, hey, I have a show, check it out. It's all about video games. And I will never mention the word podcast, because if I do that, then it will create, like, people will be like super confused. Okay, I need to buy an iPod in order for me to listen to the show. I'm like, no, that's not how you can listen to the show. So everybody was listening through the PC. There was no smartphones. There was no Android. There was no iPhone. None of that stuff, man. And no apps. So for you to listen to and discover a show, you have to be like super hardcore on whatever it is. It could be comedy, gaming, or just into podcasting in general. So it was hard for me to get the word out. And, you know, we would do a lot of cross promote. I'll be on other shows and they'll come to our show and that's how the way we'll get the word out and everything. And there was no social media back then. It was all message boards. So I'll go to like Team Xbox and other places to also get the word out. And I think that's how Paris discovered Gamertag Radio, was through the Team Xbox message forums. He saw that I posted a big interview there of something that got leaked with Xbox 360, and he became a fan ever since. So it's interesting that back then was 10 times harder to get the word out, and now it's super easy for anyone that are planning to become content creators. They could easily just, you know, have you know, apps everywhere, promoted through social media. Back then it was a lot harder for us, man. So yeah.
Wow, that's really interesting to hear that the landscape was so different, and even the technology that existed at that point was different. But, you know, we had proto RSS feeds and, you know, proto distributor platforms. That's really cool to hear about. So I'll take a pause really quickly from our show recording and just welcome everybody who's joined us. Thank you so much for listening in. Danny and I are recording this for an episode of Gamertag Radio, but here live on Twitter Spaces, we can take a couple questions after our conversation is over, and that won't be on the actual podcast, but happy to talk with everybody because 17 years of podcasting is very rare. So please hang in there. If you made a request, we'll be doing a short conversation, and then we'll open it up to some Q&A after. So, Danny, what I would really love to hear more about is, you know, doubling down into that technology conversation. What was it like creating your recordings and getting them uploaded and distributing them, you know, 17 years ago? Obviously, technology has had quite a boom in our lifetimes and looked very different back in, you know, the early 2000s.
So the way how I used to record, and all this was in all real time, like this was super complicated for me. The quality wasn't that great. I will always record through a tape recorder using my cassettes, and then in real time connect. I had a radio tape recorder, a tape deck that it was connected to my computer. So I'll press play and then record from the computer. So that's how I used to do it back then. And I will use a program, I think it was Music Match, I think it was called something like that. I can't remember. So the thing is that during that time too, I only had a 56K modem. So because there was no broadband, there was no DSL access like around 2001. So I had to upload everything to a 56K. And sometime it would get disconnected. So I have to like upload it all over again. Or if I would do this like during the day, somebody will call my mom. The connection would get disconnected. It was super complicated doing that, man. But yeah, it was very complicated. Like so what I will do, I'll record, then I'll record to the cassette. Then I have like music, and I'll play. Like also, I have like a little mixer, so I'll blend in some music, little cool intro, and then I'll put the audio in there, and I will do that. Like pause play. That's how I used to edit back then, man. So, yeah, the audio came out, and people will go to the website. Like, there was no notification when there was, like, a new episode. They had to go to the site in order for them to see new episodes. This was, like, during PSO Radio. Now, fast forward to Gamertag Radio. Now, podcasting existed now because now there was RSS feed and everything during that time. But, again, you have to go either using your computer, or if you have a third-party app, it will also automatically download the show. But it was not that many people that had access like that back then. So the cool thing, now during that time, there was iPods and there was like MP3 players where people could manually have to download from the computer and transfer it to the device. Or if you have an iPod, you have to like connect it to your computer, and iTunes will say, okay, you have this many episodes, and it will automatically put it in to the device, but you have to have that like connected, you know. Now you could do everything wirelessly everywhere, you know, but it was very, very complicated back then. But it honestly, like, it helped me to become more creative because that was like the technology I had during that time and the resources. It wasn't how it is now, you know. So yeah, I think through time I got better how to record and everything, you know. So, but yeah, if I listen to the audio now in 2022, it sounds pretty bad, but it was cool. It was exciting, you know. Very exciting.
So you talk a little bit about the people who are listening to Gamertag Radio in the early days and how it was more difficult to maybe get notified when there are new episodes or find new listeners. Talk to me a little bit about what it was like getting in touch with your audience and finding the people who would like your content then versus now, 17 years later.
All right. So back then, like I said earlier, I had to go and find my community. I would go to like different stores locally in Miami and I had to wait for a big game that will come out. So it will be like Grand Theft Auto, Madden. I'm trying to think of launches like Xbox 360, etc. Wait, what happened? No, we're fine. No, this is the mic. Got it. Don't worry, I edited this part out. But yeah, so I will do that. And it helped me to find my community and everything. And again, I also was passing out flyers to everybody there. And I had to explain to them, this is a radio show. Like, I would never mention the word podcast because, again, right away, oh, so I need an iPod? I'm like, no, you don't need an iPod to listen to the show. So that helped me a lot. Also, I used to do a lot of meetups in Miami. So, like, the first meetup we did, it was at one of my cousin's office. And we had 50 people that I invited. So I told everybody, look, bring your Xbox, bring your TVs. There were some people that bought their TVs at Walmart, went to the event. Once they were done, they took it back to Walmart, got the money back and everything. So that was really cool. So yeah, during that time, we were promoting, it was an anniversary of GTR. I think we also got nominated for like the podcast award. So we did that. And then the year after that, we got a bigger venue to do parties. And during that time, there was no gaming site or show that was actually doing that. Now the better funding people will have like events like that, but during that time in the early, oh my god, mid 2000s, 2006, 2007, that's when I started having events like that. So, and then companies got to see that and they started like sending us games for giveaways, consoles for free. Now we're getting sponsors, you know. And fast forward to like our last party, shout out to Phoenix, I know he's listening now too, but that party was during Super Bowl weekend. There was a lot of the local media outlets that were hitting me up to see if we wanted to sponsor and have like advertisements either on TV or newspapers and radio. And we're like, no, we only had like money for just the venue, right? But 2K Games sponsor us, EA Sports sponsor us, and yo, we were like, yo, guerrilla style, just promoting it locally, all the colleges, all the schools, P and I only. That's it, because we were living together around the area together in Miami. And then I remember the day before, and look, Phoenix is here listening. He was with Pete because we had to pick up a U-Haul truck because we had so many stuff to give away. We didn't have like space to take all that inside our cars, and we're like, no, we have to rent a truck. So we picked it up and I was browsing the web. I remember searching Community Vibes. That was the event it was called. I was searching, put Gamertag Radio on Google, and I noticed it was like a new article that popped up in Miami New Times. This is one of the biggest outlets in Miami. And they had like a top five best upcoming events happening during Super Bowl weekend. And I noticed it was like Playboy had like, they were like number four. Pepsi had a concert that were like number three or two, something like that. Goody Mob, Nas had a concert. And they put our event as the number one event during the Super Bowl weekend on Miami New Times. And I'm like, wow, I can't believe this. It's like all independent. And here's the thing. I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just more of getting the word out. And I think the reason why it stood out to a lot of people was because we had the event for free. And the way how we were making money was through sponsorships, through gaming companies, you know, sponsoring the event. Or so we did like tournaments. So we had like Gears of War tournament, Call of Duty. We even had Rock Band there, Madden tournament. So I feel like that helped us to connect with a lot of people, not only in Miami, but also outside, because a lot of people travel from like San Francisco, New York, Puerto Rico. There was one person from even from Japan, flew all the way to Miami to just be with us. So a couple hours before we even started our party, there was people camping out outside, 6:30 in the morning, waiting for us to open the doors. Our event started like around 3:30. There were some people that slept inside their cars in the parking lot nearby, just waiting for us, you know. So it's wild, like all the stories that I have, like things like that behind the scenes. There was even people like, look, man, I just want to go inside and help you guys. Hey, I came from Orlando. I came from Georgia. I came from a bunch of places. So I'm like, yeah, yeah. And I always wanted to make the audience feel like they're also part of our journey. Even when we go to E3, I want them to hear like the behind the scenes stories. I want them to feel that they're part of it. I even have this crazy story. So we were at E3 and we needed help because P and Paris, they were inside the event with me, and we had appointments to interview Aaron Greenberg and a couple people from Xbox. But I needed someone to bring a camera to record our interview, right? So I bump into one of our listeners at E3. No media. He was just there as an attendee. You know, this is his first E3. And I go, hey, you want to come with us? He goes, yeah. I didn't want to say what was it. So I took him to the Xbox booth. And he's like, wait, what's going on? I'm like, look, I'm going to let you in with us. Make believe you're with us. Just record our interview. And he did that. And he got to meet the Xbox team, got to meet Aaron Greenberg and Pinello and a bunch of other people. You know, I never mentioned this publicly, but those are the things that I wanted to do, because I also want to inspire people to make moves and to start their own show and stuff like that, you know. But yeah, he got super nervous, got to meet the crew, took pictures. But yeah, I always wanted to do that. Just I want people to feel like they're also part of what we're doing too, you know, so.
That's a hilarious story. And I'm going to take a quick pause again from the recording and address everybody who's here live. I see there's many more faces in the crowd, lots of whom we know and love dearly. Thanks for joining, everybody. Wanted to quickly say this is a recording that we're doing for Gamertag Radio, so we will do just the interview portion first. And then afterward, if anybody has questions or comments they would like to make to Danny, you can definitely do that. Just hang in there. We're going to do a couple more minutes of just this one-on-one interview, and then we will switch gears back to the live show.
Mm-hmm.
So, Danny, the next question that I have for you is a two-parter, because you've been in the game for as long as there was a game. And you're still successful, and there's not a lot of outlets, there's not a lot of podcasts who can claim the same. Mm-hmm. So the first part of my question is, what are some things that you have brought into the current iteration of Gamertag Radio from the previous iteration that you feel gives you that edge? And the second part, mm-hmm. what are some things that you've done differently since there's been these advancements in technology and a lot more noise in the space?
Wow, those are great questions. Oh, my God. Jesus, Ree, you're killing me here. You know, when I first started the show, I always, like I said earlier, I want people to feel like they are also part of the journey, part of the conversation. I always wanted to have conversation with people on our show, and I want them to feel comfortable for them to open up. So, for example, you know, I had Reggie on our show, and I had so many questions about how was it for him, like growing up in the Bronx in New York City. You know, no media outlet ever asked that question to Reggie. You know, they will start saying about like Nintendo and the business and like, and sometimes those gotcha questions, you know, and I didn't want to do that. There was even people telling me online, on Twitter, and even through email, oh, you have to ask Reggie about like the stocks of GameStop and he's part of the board. And I'm like, why I should ask that question? I feel like that is like a waste of time. Even when we had Phil Spencer on the show, there was people telling me, and also Paris and P, shout out to the crew. Oh, you got to ask him this and this and that. Hey, there was even one person telling us, you should ask him how much the Xbox Series X is going to cost. I'm like, wait, why Xbox is going to do that on our show instead of announcing that like an event like E3 or Gamescom, you know, we're not big like that, you know what I'm saying? So it just doesn't make sense, like the time and everything like that. But, you know, for me, it took a lot of time to even book those two interviews. Like Reggie took me 10 years. Phil, it took me, I started having that conversation like summer, right? And I got the yes, the green light, January, a month before our 1,000 episode. Like that was even 100% it was going to happen, you know? And Phil posted that tweet while he was traveling in Japan back in or late January that he was going to be on the podcast, you know? So that helped me out. Give me 1 second. What happened, Ree? No, where are you going? No, Ree. We're good. We're good. Hold on a second. Hold on a second, everyone. We're good. Don't worry. They don't pick up. I'll edit this part. So the goal for me is like I just want people to feel comfortable. You know, like 1 year we went to, I think it was Timefall, and I was with Paris and that event. And first of all, we were there. We were the only podcasters there. There was like no other show there. It was all YouTubers and live streamers, right? And while we were standing in line, I looked at Paris and Paris looked at me and we were like, bro, we're like old dinosaurs. Like we have to make a change. Like we're not doing anything with video. It's just audio and so on, right? But we went inside. There was content creator that was just strictly capturing video content of them playing. And that was some that did interviews with the Respawn dev team and everything. And I noticed that some of them were kind of uncomfortable because a lot of the people that were on camera, they were just being that character that they used to when they do, you know, YouTube content. And, yo, Paris and I, we always been like the same. You know, we sat down with multiple people that we interviewed them and they felt so comfortable that they opened up and said things that nobody else asked those questions, you know, and then answered pretty cool and everything. And then I remember later that night, PR just came up to me in Paris and they were like, they said that was like their favorite interviews out of the two days event that we had here, you know. And even this is a cool story. I never mentioned this, but, you know, even when I interviewed Keanu Reeves, I was the only gaming outlet to interview him, right? A couple of days before the release of Cyberpunk 2077. So a lot of the majority of the people that were interviewing him was all like BBC, CNN, like major media outlets and international outlets too. I got the word that was his favorite interview with me. And they even mentioned Danny. That was the most animated that we've seen out of the whole day they was doing interviews because he felt so comfortable talking to you. And the question you were asking, like he's like laughing and cracking up. And, you know, that I always want to think outside of the box. I don't like doing what everybody else is doing, you know. And I think that helped me to become a better content creator because of that too. And, you know, even having Paris and Pete with me throughout all these years, we will always like get feedback on like what we should do better, what we should do this and this and that. And because of them, I also become a better podcaster and content creator because of them. So the second part of the question, what you were saying, I can't remember now, the second part. What's changed for us is now we're doing more video. I wish, and this is like my mistake, I wish we had like a main YouTube channel for us. Cause I know I've seen a lot of other creators and podcasts that have been doing that. And the reason is, cause a lot of people don't know this, and I never publicly mentioned this, you know, during that time where we were doing a lot of the podcasts, I would do it in my room. I never had like a setup for that, right? Paris had a better setup and also Pete, but I was the one struggling. Like my computer wasn't that great. Camera wasn't that good. I would use the webcam. Sometimes I'll even use like Kinect with, you know, connected to the Xbox, and I'll sit there in the living room and that's how I'll stream through the console because I just didn't have a PC. But when it comes to audio, I could record audio anywhere. You know, I release 57 episodes with P and Paris during E3. Nobody in the history of gaming podcasts ever done that. You know, I'm proud of that, you know. And a lot of those old interviews got picked up by major media. I could say that every year that we release an episode of GTR, major media picked it up. Even in 2005, when we were the first gaming outlet that talked about the 360, Perfect Dark Zero, which is not a great game, but during that time, people were super hype about it, and we were the first outlet to get the word about that, you know. Or I know CNN picked up something that we posted too about Kinect. There was like a lot of things, interviews with like Peter Moore all over the web. Look it up, you know. And I'm proud of those moments. And it's, again, me and the crew thinking outside of the box, not trying to do like the same old thing that everybody else is doing. But at the same time, the most important thing, if you're a content creator, is that we're having fun. The day that I'm not having fun, that's the day that I feel like I want to stop the show and just work on something else, you know. But I'm still having fun with this, man, you know. And there've been times too that I had a very difficult moments in my life that I, again, never publicly talk about that. But you know, P and Paris had my back the whole time, you know. When I took some time off, they were handling the podcast without me. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud that we made a lot of big things throughout the years. You know, signing with CBS was pretty cool. That thing was amazing. Big interviews, you know, having Peter Moore talk about like the 20th anniversary of Dreamcast. Nobody's ever done that, you know. I'm very proud of all those things, man. So, and this, I feel like I still have a couple more years releasing, you know, the podcast. And I think I can't wait for the future, you know. And now with G4, it's been really interesting too, behind the scenes, you know. It's been difficult too, because I have a lot of things going on, you know, my personal life and work, and also Twitter Spaces and podcasts. Like, it's a lot of things going on, but I'm still having fun, you know. And I hope everybody else is listening to the show are also having fun listening to the content that we've been releasing, you know. So go ahead.
All right, so last question for me, Danny. Mm-hmm. What is one thing that you've not yet gotten to do with Gamertag Radio that you hope you can do in the future?
Ooh, okay. So I've done TV. I've done radio, like actual radio. I've done, of course, podcasting. I think a book. Never done that. And hopefully that will happen. I want to share my story and just, I want people to, you know, be inspired by that, with the things that I went through in my life. You know, there was people that doubted me, was even making fun of me for leaving the music industry, because I was really well connected with like a lot of major artists, major labels, and I was just not happy during that time. Then I'm like, no, I want to do a show about gaming, and a lot of people were making fun of me. They're like, wow, why are you doing that? You know, about video games, you know. But yeah, I think a book is something that I would love to do. Yeah, I've done documentaries. You know, I made one that took me a couple months, but that one also talked about briefly about GTR, the history of the show, and about me too. And I got awards from that too. And I did screenings, early screenings with like the fans all over the world. Twitch featured us. I remember they put us on the front page. I was very nervous about that. And people were loving it. They were giving us great feedback about it too. So yeah, I think a book will be the one that I would love to do.
Amazing. And I know if you say you want to do it, it's probably going to happen. So I look forward to reading the story of Danny Pena and Gamertag Radio someday. So that's going to wrap up our 1-on-1 interview for today, for this episode of...
We're going to have questions from
We're going to do questions and answers with our live audience here on Twitter Spaces. But that about wraps up our 1-on-1 interview for this episode. Thank you so much, Danny, for giving me the opportunity to ask you these things on air instead of our normal everyday conversations. Yeah. You have an absolutely incredible story, and I'm so glad that you continue to share it and inspire others. And I can't wait to see what's next for you.
Yes, 17 years. 17 years, man. I'm glad that we came to Vegas for DICE, the DICE Summit, you know, and I got to see a lot of friends I haven't seen in like 2-3 years because of the pandemic. And there was a lot of people that came up to me that I worked throughout the years that we've never met face to face. And that was the first time meeting up. And they would come to me and mention the name. And like, and that, it took me some time to remember. But yeah, it's been so long, man. So it's, look, this industry is so small. You'd never know who's listening. You never know who's watching. Be smart on what you post, not only content wise, but also like through social media. Because look, one thing I realized when I was introducing people to Yuri, right? I was like, oh, this is my fiance, Rihanna. People are like, oh no, I seen the tweets. I'm talking about higher ups, really higher ups of an industry that were saying the same thing. Oh no, I seen the tweets. I'm like, okay, so.
Well, it's nice to know Phil Spencer thinks I have good dance moves.
Yes, he did mention that. And shout out to everybody that also we got to see during Dice, you know, and I'm proud to see, you know, people like Khalif doing his thing on stage, also you with the Spanies and things you've been doing also over there at G4 too. And I'm very proud of you know, like of Paris and also Pete. You know, Paris, when he started the show, he was very, very shy. And, you know, seeing him on stage last year for the showcase, that I got emotional seeing that because, first of all, people don't know the struggle that was for us back during that time. You know, even now with my brother, too, because I launched Gamertag Radio with my brother Nano, and now he's now working for a PR agency, you know. A lot of people that used to work at GTR, now they're doing the whole thing. Mandy, she works for Hasbro. Jonathan, a.k.a. Butter, now he works, I believe, with EA. He also worked with Apple. And it was because GTR. A lot of people don't know about that, you know. And that's what I want to do, just share my story. And hopefully this will be helpful for people to also get into the gaming industry too, you know. So very proud about that. Very, very proud.
This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, let's talk about our sponsor for this episode of Gamertag Radio, and that's Trade Coffee. Hey, listeners, 90% of coffee from the grocery store is actually stale. You heard that right. The coffee you know and think you love needs an upgrade. Instead of rebuying the same old, let Trade Coffee send you something fresh and roasted that you're literally guaranteed to love. Now, again, whether you're a coffee nerd like myself or just want a better daily cup, Trade's Real Coffee Experts taste test over 400 roasts and use technology to match you to your ideal coffee based on your preference and brewing method. Taking the coffee quiz to get started is super easy. Only a few minutes of your time. Trade Coffee guarantees you will love your first bag or they will replace it totally, totally for free. Of course, Trade Coffee has been featured in many places like New York Times, Wired, GQ, and has delivered over 5 million bags of coffee. The description is no hassle. Skip the shipments, change your frequency, or cancel at any time. Now, I mentioned this previously on Gamertag Radio. Again, I love coffee. I even had a show called Cafecito con Danny when I was streaming a lot on Twitch. And they've been sending me now, I have like 3 bags already. And I've been changing it, you know, here and there. And one of the bags that I love a lot is Alma Coffee. My God, it tastes so, so good. I've been using that every morning when I wake up, right before I go to work, or even before I start recording a podcast here at GTR, and I just love it. So now, for you, our listeners, right now, take advantage of this deal. Right now, Trade Coffee is offering a total of $20 off for your first 3 bags. When you go to drinktrade.com/GTR. To get started, take their quiz at drinktrade.com/GTR and start your journey to your perfect cup. That's drinktrade.com/GTR for your $20 off your first 3 bags. We'd like to say thank you to Trade Coffee for sponsoring this week's episode of Gamer Tag Radio.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, guys, thank you for listening this special episode of Gamer Tag Radio. This was a lot of fun. Make sure to spread the word about it. And stay tuned. We have more content coming up in the future. We're going to take a couple of days off. I've been working on a lot of things behind the scenes, which I'll talk about in the future. But I just wanted to release this episode close to Monday, you know. So, we're going to take this week off. And we're going to have more in the future. So stay tuned. All right. Until next time. Danny Pena. I'm out. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.